In Season and Out of Season is sponsored by In Season and Out of Season.
In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Today it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Glad to be with you today. Do you know that people who pray are at the heart of the world? That people who pray hold the world together? That people who pray cause things to happen in heaven before they happen on earth? Do you know that people who pray can change the lives of other people? Do you know that people who pray have been an absolute audience with God when we pray? Do you know that God hears us, the Father hears us when we pray? Do you know that prayer is so important and yet it is so neglected? Do you know that? Do you know that the reason why prayer is so important is that you have the whole ear of God, so to speak, the audience of God. And yet everything in the world will stop you from praying. Now, I am an activist, and that means that I don't only believe in prayer, but that my prayer must have action. But action without prayer is barren. Action without prayer is social work. Action without seeking the face of God is empty. It doesn't change people. No one will be changed by that. Do you know that prayer moves the heart of God? That I found the secret to the heart of God, and it's prayer. It's being with God. It's being with Jesus. It's really communing with Him. It's fighting with Him. It's loving Him. It's doing everything with Him. Not only loving Him and telling Him good things, but, you know, telling Him your disappointments and telling Him your fears and telling Him your anger, but finally being obedient. Prayer. I found the secret to the heart of God, and it's prayer. And now today I'm going to have a confession. It's going to be my confession. It is the hardest thing that I do. It is not easy. It is not easy to pray. It is not easy to pray. Because when you pray, first of all, you have to face yourself. You have to face how scattered you are, how broken you are, how unable you are to pray on your own power. You have to face yourself. And St. Paul tells us, we know not how to pray. We know not how to pray, but the God of Israel gives us the Holy Spirit, and He groans with sighs deeper than words could ever say. I believe that's the gift of tongues. I believe that's the groaning in the Spirit, at least part of it. We know not how to pray. That's why the absolute need of the Holy Spirit in prayer. St. Thomas Aquinas said that prayer is the lifting up of our minds and our hearts to God. I disagree with the doctor of the church. You cannot do that without the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who teaches us how to pray. We cannot pray without the gift of the Holy Spirit. We cannot pray. We can say words. We can sing psalms. But that does not mean we pray. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Prayer causes people to change. Prayer changes things. It's the most important thing that you do, and and yet you do so little of it. It's the most important thing that I do, and yet I do so little of it. Prayer changes people. You must know that that prayer brings about the prophetic, too. Prayer brings about the prophetic. Because, you see, with prayer comes the word of God. Do you know that the Jewish people will not pray with their own words? The only words they use are from the Scripture, from the Hebrew Scriptures. Prayer brings about the prophetic. Do you know that the prophetic is always rooted in the Bible? Do you know that no prophecy can ever go against what has been written in the Scripture? Prayer brings about the prophetic. It causes us to do things that we wouldn't ordinarily do in the natural. It causes, let's look at the saints. And let's look at Catherine of Siena. Catherine of Siena was not even a nun. She was a third order Dominican. But she was a prayer. And she prayed and prayed and prayed. At this time, during the time of the papacy, there were three popes. And Catherine of Siena, moved by the Holy Spirit, went to where the pope, real pope was and told him, get back to Rome. Prayer is prophetic. It causes us to do things that we would never do on our own power. Prayer is prophetic. You see, when we lose the prophetic aspect of prayer, what we get into are rote prayers, prayers that we say, now I lay me down to sleep with a bag of peanuts at my feet. If I should die before I wake, give it to my brother Jake. That's not prayer. Prayer that is not prophetic is pathetic. Prayer is prophetic. It causes us to do what we would never do on our own power. It causes us to be what we would never be on our own power. If you want some examples, you look at Gideon. Gideon, he was the runt of the litter. He was the weakest of the house of his father. The Amalekites were destroying their crops. God one day goes to him and says, O mighty man of valor. Gideon's looking around. He's saying, you've got to be kidding. It's got to be somebody else. You're not talking to me. And yet this is the mighty man of valor who will destroy the army. And he will destroy the army through prayer. And God will cause Gideon to just take a few soldiers who will fight. Prayer causes us to do things that we would never do on our own. Prayer causes us to be prophetic. Prayer causes us to stand up in the midst of the assembly and speak a word that no one else wants to hear. Jeremiah was a man of prayer, and it got him into deep trouble. The prophets during the time of Jeremiah were prophesying things that people want to hear. It sounds like what happens today. Let's talk about the things people want to hear. St. Paul talks about that very clearly. He says, in the last days, there would be prophets and there would be preachers that would come to suit their own needs, and they would tickle the ears of the people. How many ear ticklers do we have out there? Oh, yeah, you're all so good. Everything is fine. You're wonderful. We never hear of the word sin. We never hear of the word blasphemy. We never hear of the word selfishness, obedience, sacrifice. No, those words have been put on a shelf. Those words are for the past, not for the present. You can tell that these people don't pray, because they're not prophetic. And if you're not prophetic, you are pathetic. Yeah. If you're not prophetic, you are pathetic. We tell people what they want to hear. Oh, you're all so good. Yeah. Today in Boston, it's Tuesday, you know, at Planned Parenthood, they'll kill 35 children. 35 women will come out of there raped. And they'll have to deal with the fact that their kids were killed and that they played a part in it. And where is the church? Where is the prayer of the church? We don't even pray in the sanctuary for the conversion of abortionists and the conversion of the women and the healing of the... We don't want... Because we don't... You know why? This is why. I've heard so many priests say this. They say, well, we can't talk about abortion. And I say, why? They said, because there might be somebody out there who had one. I said, oh, no. Oh, no, as the Irish say. There not might be. There are. They're out there. And you ought to speak a word of healing as well as a word that will tell them not to do it again. That God wants to heal them and wants to make them pro-life activists through prayer. Oh, no, we will not speak the hard word. You know why? We do not want to offend people. Well, let me tell you, prayer is prophetic. It will cause you to proclaim the things that no one else will proclaim. Let me tell you again about the embryonic stem cell research committee that they had before all this passed. There were a few priests there. Father Matt was one. I was another. There was another. There was not one bishop in that forum. Not one bishop. You want to know why? And we have bishops in Boston, Fall River, Springfield, and Worcester. Not one bishop. You want to know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because the devil made the church so ashamed of what the clergy had done with little children that they wouldn't even show their face in the state house. At the end of that day, I stood up. It was like about 3 years ago, and it was on a Wednesday. I had been there all day waiting to have my turn to talk. And I did talk. And the first thing I said to the senators is, I want to apologize to the people of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And they said, why? I said, because not a one bishop is here. But if they were taking their tax-free number away, they'd all be here. I want to apologize for all the people in Boston and throughout Massachusetts that not a bishop showed up. That's the first thing I want to apologize for. The second thing I want to say is this. I know you people have rigged this whole thing. This is a kangaroo meeting. You've already come up with decisions. And the man says, how do you know that, Father? He was patronizing me. Mr. Hart was his name. And I said, Senator Hart, I know that because I was speaking to that man over there. You see, he's an Orthodox man. And he started to talk to me about being Catholic and that Catholics and Orthodox were kind of alike. And I looked at him and I said, sir, you've already made up your mind, haven't you? He said, no, I haven't. I said, come on, sir. Tell the truth and shame the devil. I've been watching you. I'm a good, good, good person who's able to size up people. I've taught school. I said, you've already made up your mind. No, I haven't. And then I pressed him a little longer. I said, come on, fess up. You've already made up your mind. You know what he said? I have, and you priests have abused children. I smiled and said, this is a kangaroo court. I said, sirs, this embryonic stem cell research, bishops aren't here, but I want to tell you something. Let me tell you something, because a prophet is speaking today. Now, they all thought I was nuts. But you know what? I don't have to prove to people that I'm not nuts. I said these words. You will see the increase of violence in Boston. You will see mothers' children being killed on the streets more and more. You will see the economy of Massachusetts ultimately die. Because you, senators, and our bishop, they said nothing. But you, Senator, are planting violence. And when you plant violence, you reap violence. Mark the words of a prophet this day. Violence will increase in Boston. I don't know if you read the paper, but almost every day, another mother's child is killed in Roxbury, and another mother's child is killed in Dorchester. We teach violence with embryonic stem cell research. We teach violence with abortion. You plant violence, you reap violence. What you sow is what you reap. It's really not a great spiritual theorem or theory. It's a planting and sowing experience. You plant a lot of seeds, you get a lot of fruit. And I walked out. Unfortunately, I've been right. Violence has increased. And you know whose fault it is? It's the bishop's fault. They never showed up. And it's the senator's fault. It was all rigged. And then our great Mr. Travellini, you know, I remember I used to parade in front of his house and sing songs around Easter. Well, the bishop told me that I couldn't do it anymore, so I didn't. And you know what I said to the bishop? I said, you know, I did what God told me to do. Now, I will be obedient to you. But you know what? The onus is on you, Bishop Lennon, because you want to be politically correct. Have a good day. And I also said that Travellini would get a big job with this embryonic stem cell research. You know what? He has. It's all about money, and it's all about cloning. And where is the church? And let me tell you why. Because the church doesn't pray. How can you face issues like that when you don't commune with God? To pray is to be prophetic. To pray is to endure persecution. To pray is to speak words that no one wants to hear, and they come from the heart of God. I'm not going to tell you I pray well. I'm not even going to tell you I pray often. But I know I need to pray. I know that without prayer, the only thing I have is a lot of thunder and no rain. And the world is not in need of noise. It's in need of rain. The rain of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Spirit. The presence of God. No prayer, a lot of thunder, no rain. And you know, that's why I tell you prayer holds things together. And that's why I tell you you've got to pray. You've got to spend time in prayer. You've got to seek the Lord. You've got to call on His name. You've got to be prophetic. You've got to say the word that nobody else wants to hear. You've got to be the person that God wants you to be. And you know what Jesus said in yesterday's gospel? I did not come to bring peace into the world, but division. And when we do these things, there will be mother against daughter. Father against son, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. Yeah. We don't pray because we don't want to be prophetic. But what is the option? Pathetic. Pathetic. The church in the West is pathetic. Manganabarola. Not a word. Not over. But let me tell you this. If tomorrow they came out with the statement, we're going to vote about taking your tax-free number away, every bishop from here to Kalamazoo would be here. You know why? Because it's all about money. When the bishops met the Holy Father John Paul II, do you know what he said to them? One of the things he said to them, you men are pastors, not CEOs. You must pastor your sheep. You are not CEOs. And of course, the bishops, sycophants that they can be, just like myself, all said, oh, yes, Holy Father, yes, yes, yes. Let me kiss your ring. And then they went home, and they went to be CEOs and not pastors. Remember, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Remember, the good shepherd smells like the sheep. Remember, the good shepherd will rescue the sheep. The good shepherd is not far away from the sheep. He's not in some kind of, our shepherd is in a whatever they call it. It's in Roxbury. But you know what? He's invisible. We don't see him. We don't see him. We never see Cardinal O'Malley. Never. Try to get to him. Thank God I got to him once, maybe even twice. Most people don't get to him. They don't get to him. You know why? He's hidden. He's hidden. Protected by the Irish mafia all around him. Kind of sad. Kind of sad. Kind of sad. But he is responsible for the Archdiocese of Boston. That's why you must pray for the Archbishop. Because if he does not respond the way God wants him to, he will go to hell. These are hard words. These are hard words. If the bishop is not the good shepherd, and if the bishop doesn't smell like the sheep, and if the bishop doesn't lay down his life for the sheep, I tell you, no matter what bishop or priest, including myself, we will burn in the pit of hell. We are not talking about, shall I wear a blue vestment or a green vestment? We're talking about the salvation of souls. We're talking about people either go to heaven or hell ultimately. We're talking about being shepherds in the midst of a world that is antichrist. And if the shepherds, that's not only the bishop, that's the priest. If we're pathetic, we will end up in the coal bin for eternity. That's why you must pray for your priests and you must pray for your bishops. You must. You must pray for your priests and pray for your bishops. Pray, 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 pray. Because the Lord said, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The Lord never says the good shepherd carries a staff and wears a pointed hat. You can carry any staff you want, and wear any pointed hat you want, and wear all the right vestments as I do, and still end up in hell. Do you understand that? That's why we need to pray, and we need to entreat God to change the hearts of the bishops and the priests and Father Tom. We need to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray until God does something. The church needs to be prophetic in a world that is antichrist. We cannot sit still like mamalukas. We cannot sit still with manganabarola, not even a word. We must be the light of the world, lumen gentium. That's what the document says. We cannot just play around because we're playing around with the salvation of people's souls. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm going to end the way I began. Prayer is the hardest thing to do, but you must pray. You must seek the face of God. You must call upon his name. You must pray for the Archbishop of Boston. You must pray for him because he has a responsibility that I would never want to have It is no honor to be the Archbishop of Boston. There is no honor in it, believe me. None whatsoever. God will hold him responsible, and you know what? God will hold me responsible for the words I say if I don't live them. That's why you must pray, not only for Cardinal Sean, but for Father Tom and for the priest, that we would be able again to be vocal. But remember, we cannot be vocal unless we pray. We cannot be prophetic unless we are in contact with the priest, prophet, and king, Jesus Christ. Father, change us by love. Change us by grace. Father, your people perish. They are like sheep without a shepherd. And unless you do something, not only will the clergy go to hell, but your people will go to hell. You must do something, I say, Lord. You must do something. You must cause us to change by grace for the sake of your sorrowful passion and for the sake of your poor little people, broken as they are. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time, trying to proclaim the word of God. Pray for Cardinal O'Malley. Pray for me. We will be in Hingham on Thursday at 7:30. You'd like to come at St. Paul's in Hingham, 7:30 in the evening, and you'd be welcome to be there with us. We are going to pray, and we'll celebrate Mass, and we will pray for healing. You're welcome to be there, St. Paul's in Hingham, Thursday evening, 7:30 in the evening. And I do need to hear from you. You know why? It's the summer, and we have to pay June's bills. We always are 1 month behind. So please help us so that we can pay June's bills. It's $30,000, you know, to pay our bills, between $26,000 and $30,000. That's a lot of money. If I ever thought about it in my sleep, I wouldn't sleep. But you know what? He who comforts Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. So I let the Lord worry about it because he's good. He doesn't sleep, and I need to. You know that? So if you're worried about things, let him deal with it. You do what you need to do. Let him deal with it, because he neither slumbers nor sleeps. You need to sleep. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.